God bless you. God bless your service. And you know, today's message is all about that Jesus coming kingdom. And before we come into kingdom, we have to prepare our heart. We have to prepare our soul. We have to prepare our mind. And we have to prepare our thoughts unto one thing, and that is worship and praise. Without the praise and worship, you cannot enter into his presence. So it is always required by God that we should enter with joyfully and with a cheerful heart and saying, I am going to sing for the glory of the Lord. I am available for his worship, and I want to say him, thank you, Father, that you loved us. Thank you, God, that you have given us this opportunity that we can come together. So before we go into the sermon, I have some few words to say thank you to the St. Paul family, to the church, and to the leadership, and to the pastor, that I was in a desperate need to go and do the final things to my dad. My dad passed away, went to be with the Lord in September. So I have to go because I am the oldest son and I have to take care of everything. So I am so thankful for you guys that you came in and pitch in and help me out that I can do all those things what required for me to do it. Thank you very much, and thank you for giving me again that opportunity that I can stand in the presence of God and worship you by proclaiming his name, because his name is above of every name. Amen. So let's start our business. We have already gone through with the scripture readings, book of Revelation, chapter number 19, verse number 1 to 10. It's all talks about the praise and worship. The first 10 verses all talks about the praise and worship. And then in the book of Matthew, chapter number 25, it's all talk about the kingdom. Jesus Christ was talking about that, what are the circumstances and how the people will going to believe and how they're going to stand and how they're going to prepare themselves and they will going to ready for the coming of the second coming of Jesus Christ. You see, there are three parables in that chapters. The first start from the 10 virgins, and then after that it goes with the talents, and the last one was Jesus saying to the believers, to the church, that when I was naked, you were not there. When I was need in a help, you didn't came. And then whoever came in and devoted himself to provide a food, give him a cloth and give him a water to drink, Jesus said, you did it to me. And everybody was astonished. So these are the three parables that Jesus was talking about the coming of his kingdom. So is this work? Think technical problem? Okay, thank you. So the book of Revelation, when you go to the book of Revelation is already, if you read very three first verses, it says that this book is the prophetic book, and whoever read and study and believe and follow the instruction, he will be called the blessed one. You know, in the book of Revelation is associated with the first three chapters are Christ and the church. It is the introduction with the church. God always start everything with the church. And after that, after the third chapter, you will not see the church unless you come into the chapter number 19. So God and Satan's power described in all those from chapter number 6 to the chapter number 16 is all about. Chapter number 4 and 5 is the picture of heaven. What's going on in heaven? God has given us all the detail what's going on in heaven. You know, you always anxious about that. You are always worried about that. What will heaven when we pass away, when we go from this life to another life, how it will be look like? Jesus has already give us enough information about the revelation, because that's why it called the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, fourth and fifth chapter talks about the glimpse of heaven, and then sixth 2:16, it's all about God and Satan's power described, and then Satan's attack and God's judgment. And then you jump in into the 17th chapter. 17th chapter is all about these two chapters, 17th chapter and 18th chapter in the book of Revelation. It talks about the judgment about the Rome. You know, if you go and study book of Daniel has a 12th chapter, and the 12th chapter, the verse number 4, to the Daniel, God said, shut down all these things, because all these things for the end time. But detail was given in the book of Daniel. You know, in the second chapter, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has the dream. And that dream has the statue. And that statue has the image. That image has gold, silver, and then bronze, and then iron. And then the feet of that statue was clay and iron mixed with that. So it's all come into that prophetic way in 17th chapter. The harlot, the city of Rome, the adultery and the idolatry is all about there. So Babylon is called as an evil world power, is called, refer to Rome. So 18th chapter is also called about there again, the fall of the Rome, the fall of the harlot. Two voices declare sins, spiritual adultery, persecution of the church, and then wicked mourn for the two reasons. Allies will fall and commerce is ruined. These things you will going to find in chapter number 18. I just put the shortest version over here, but you will going to find a big detail if you go into the 17th and 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. So you will going to see the cry of that. You know, in the past, there is a prophet called crying prophet, you know, that his name is Jeremiah. Jeremiah always cries before the Lord, but he was crying for his nation. So today, we should be on our knees, and we should be crying for our church, for our support, for our children, for the sake of the glory of God. You know, we should always be on our knees, and we should be asking his mercy and his direction, because we are living in the chaos world right now. So all things are going into the direction against the word of God. If you turn on your news, you will going to find out all those things. So we are coming into that graphic time of the period. So when you come into the book of 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, you will going to find the wedding feast, the fall of beast, and the judgment of the beast and the harlot completed. Yani, everything was done and completed. Then you find rejoicing, celebration begins, and then like a wedding feast, like a betrothal, and then the interval, and then the feast. You know, God has already chosen us, and I will going to explain you later on in the scriptures. So these are the outlines of the 10 verses of the first thing that we have to go through, that how God chose us and bring us into that I am coming as a king to receive my bride. He will going to throw us a party. He will going to make a feast. That's what we read in the book of Matthew. Jesus himself was talking that I will going to throw a party, and I will going to separate goat and a sheep, because I'm a good shepherd. And I will going to say, this feast I have prepared for you people, come and receive your inheritance. So he is giving these details in chapter number 19. When you come into the book of Revelation, Revelation has 22 chapters, and it has 404 verses in the book of Revelation. And it is referred to 800 quotations from all over the Bible. So whenever you understand the book of Revelation, you have to understand all the Bible. You have to go through, find all 800 quotations which are quoted in the book of Revelation. You know, Revelation is all about praise and worship. It's all about the signs and the wonders. It's all about the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. And it is all written for the church, because when John was called into heaven, he says, go and teach these things to my church, because church should know what are the days of the end, what will going to happen into the end, because we right now, everybody wants to know what will going to happen in the future, what will going to take place in heaven. So God did not hide anything. He has given all the details in his book, and it's the book of Revelation, and it talks the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's start from this. Now John gave us a picture of heaven. You know, the first picture you were going to find John gave you in the book about heaven is chapter number 4 and chapter number 5. It gave you all the details what is going on in heaven. And here in chapter 19, he says, now give us a picture of heaven and what is going in heaven. John sees a great praise going in heaven. So remember, the first step whatever you're going to see is the praise and worship. So whenever we come into the church, whenever we come to have a fellowship, we should always start with praise and worship. And I'm so thankful for our band. They are always available for playing the keyboards, the praying, the all other instruments, and start singing and bringing everybody into that. Somebody's so people are dancing, people are singing, people are waving like that. So these are all that giving you that you are singing joyfully. You are singing with the open heart, and you're receiving Jesus. You're saying, Jesus, I am here to worship you. Jesus, I am here to remember when he was he was going to take the cross. There is a Sunday called Palm Sunday. What happened at the Palm Sunday? Everybody was rejoicing. They were having their clothes on their way. They were having the piece of trees cutting in their hands, and they were hanging, and they were waving it all. These are all. And Jews came to him, and Pharisees came to Jesus and says, can you please stop them? And Jesus said, if they were going to stop, the rock will going to start shouting. So Jesus is all about praise and worship. God is all about praise and worship. If you see the glimpse of heaven, if you go into the 4th and 5th chapter, the angels are singing, the cherubims are singing, the seraphims are singing, all the congregation standing before Jesus' throne of God, they are all praising and worshiping. You won't find anything else in heaven if you don't practice over here. You should come and practice how to sing, how to praise, how to glorify God, because that's all you will going to do in heaven. That's all you will going to do in the millennium power. You will going to come before the throne of Jesus, and you will going to sing and praise his name. So that's what it says. John sees a great praise going in heaven, and sees there are four type of praise in these very first 19th chapter. Very first 7 verses talk about the four type of worship. We're going to see in later on. So are described in the same way. Very best praise and worship songs are found in the book of Revelation. For example, the throne of God, the Lamb of God, holy, holy. You will find all these words in the book of Revelation. So all these theologically praise and worship, prophetic worship, you will going to find in the book of Revelation. So that's why we have to study, we have to know what's going on, and Jesus has given us all the revelation about praise and worship. So whenever something significant happens in the life of Jesus, it begins with praise and worship. You know, the first thing when he was born, who was singing? Angels are start singing at his birth. After another sign, when he was after the Last Supper, they were walking towards the Garden of Gethsemane and the Mount of Olive. They were, after the supper, they were singing and they were going towards that. You know, Mark talks about that, book of Mark, chapter number 14, verse number 26. They were singing. So so whenever God is doing something prophetic in all, always starts with praise and worship. Remember, when God starts the prophetic thing, it's always start with praise and worship. The whole book of Psalm is about praise and worship. The whole book of Psalms teach you about praise and worship. The book of Psalms give you the prophetic aspect. The book of Psalms give you the poetry glimpse of that, and then it will going to give you how you should pray and how should you worship and how should you pray praise the Lord. And it's all about the praise and worship, especially when you go to the very second chapter of the book of Psalms. Very second chapter says, God has put his own son and he has given everything. The other nations are coming angry with him and all those things, chaos going on. So the second psalm is all about the prophetic, and Jesus was quoted as a son of God, and he says, I have given everything under your feet. And that's what the book of Psalm talks about. So to begin is a great announcement. It's a rejoicing and celebration begins. So to begin in the beginning is a great announcement that Jesus is coming with the glory. A great multitude is singing with the loud voice. A great thing is going on. The multitude people are singing because the harlot was gone. The great Babylon was gone. You know, if you study the 18th and 17th and 18th chapter, it's all associated with the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis started with the 10th chapter. You were going to see the great tower was start building by, it's called the Tower of Baal and Babel. And it's also called in Hebrew, it's called confusion. So all the confusion start from the 10th chapter after the flood of Noah. All this chaos started with all other things. There was a man named Namrud who started all those things, and he was a mighty hunter, and he did all wrong things, and he tried to be reached to God and try to build that big tower to start. And from all from that tower, if you see around the world, every country has the race to build the highest building, to build the highest tower. What they mean is that we are the gods. We can do what God did. They want to become a god, and that's what we are going in under the wrath of God, the curse of God, because we always act like a god. God did not make us. We should say that I am a god. So remember when Twin Tower was gone out, and President Obama said, we will come strongly again and we will build again. And he used the word that God himself made, because he said, I will rebuild it. Whenever the reconciled word comes, it's all associated with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will restore you. Jesus said, I will recompensile you. I will restore you. I will rebuild you. Jesus said that, but after when I'm going to die, after when I will going to get resurrection, and after that I will going to sit at the right hand of the Father. And that's what we confess in our creed, that he is sitting on the right hand of the Father, and he is our mediator, he's our advocate. So when we come over here, the great multitude is singing praise and worship. John gave us a list of praise and worship. And the list worship, it says the first word, it started with hallelujah. Hallelujah comes from a great multitude. This is the only time in the New Testament you will going to find the word hallelujah. Whole Testament, there is no other book, there is no other verse talks about the word hallelujah. Hallelujah, it's only come over here. The word hallelujah, let's break it down. Before I break it down, I will going to tell you about these things. This is also called the Trinitarian aspect of the worship. You know, if you study or read very two verses, it says salvation. Whenever the word salvation comes, it's always salvation comes from Jesus Christ. Salvation is belongs to Jesus. Whenever you see the glory, glory is always associated with God the Father. So the glory of the Father, the power, whenever you see the word power, power is always associated with the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 12, John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus said, I will go to my Father, and he will going to send you another comforter, and you will going to receive the power of Holy Spirit. The power of Holy Spirit will going to come, and it will going to give you all the secrets, and all the inheritance, and all whatever God wants us to know about the future. God will going to teach us through the power of Holy Spirit. So salvation belongs to Jesus. The glory begins. Glory of the Father, the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's come back to the word hallelujah. Hallelujah is the pure Hebrew word. It was not translated in our Greek scriptures. It is not a Greek word. Remember that. It is a Hebrew, pure Hebrew word. So hallelujah is in two words. Hallel, which means let's give praise. Luya means to our God. So when you combine together, let's praise our God. Let's praise our Lord. So it's all together. When you say hallelujah, you are speaking in Hebrew language. You are saying, God, I know you speak to your people, like Jewish people, in the Hebrew language. So I know the word of language of Hebrew words. So whenever you say hallelujah, you are confessing and saying, I am a believer of Jesus Christ, and I am coming into the heritage of Jew. So these are the things that gave us that. The second hallelujah comes from the 24 elders and four living creatures fell down and worshiped God. You know when the second hallelujah comes? It's when you go into the book of Revelation chapter number 4 and 5, when Jesus was standing in the midst of the people and all other elders. You know, if working in a church as an elder, you should be rejoicing. You should be saying, you are the first one. You're going to start the praise and worship. Remember that, because book of Revelation says that the four elders and four living creatures, and it started from the fourth chapter and the fifth chapters. The elders are worshiping. The four creatures are worshiping. The all congregation who are standing before the throne of God, they are all worshiping and praising. So the fourth and fifth chapter already give us the glimpse of that. But when you come into the 19th chapter, it's give you again that who was worshiping. The four elders and the living creatures fell down and worshiping God and saying amen. Amen mean that we are all agreeing. We are all standing before the throne of God, and we are saying, He is my Lord. He is my God. He is my creator. He is my salvation. All glory belongs to Him, and He is the worthy for all the worship and praise. And I want to learn in my life that I have to worship with all my thoughts, with all my attitude, with all my acknowledgement that I am glorifying God the Father, that I am saying Jesus is my Savior, that I am saying I am filled by the power of Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gives me the courage. Holy Spirit gives me how my attitude will be changed. Holy Spirit give me that how should I speak. Holy Spirit has teach me all those things, and Holy Spirit give me all the revelation of the God the Father. God the Holy Spirit, give me all that that I want to know. And that's what the amen mean, that I believe it. The third hallelujah is found in verse number 5. All His servants, great and small, praise our God. This means that the word hallelujah, praise our God. Praise our God means hallelujah. So all our servants are great or small. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young you are. You should all come and sing together. You should all come and worship together. You should all come together. Because God, whenever God sees you, He don't see you how old you are. He didn't see Abraham was 75 years old and he was called at that time. He didn't see that Abraham is getting old, but he sees as a child. When he sees as a child, age does not matter. You know, does not matter in God, because we are not judged according to our flesh. We are not judged according to our flesh. Remember that you are a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. You are a combine of three things. You are a body, you have a spirit, and you have a soul. When you come into the soul, your soul combines three things: your emotions, your will, and your ideas and thoughts. That is your emotion. So that's what, when you come in your emotions, don't make any decision in that time. You have to put together. You know, Jesus has given us, when you make your decision, When you want to make your decision? When you come with your whole heart, when you come with your whole mind, when you come with your whole spirit, when you come with your whole strength. That is the time when you worship. When you worship, God will going to give you the direction. God will going to show you the way. God will going to open the doors for you. God will going to provide each and everything when you want in your need. He comes at the right time when you want. He will going to provide each and everything. So the third hallelujah found in that, and it means hallelujah. The fourth hallelujah is in verse number 6. That's what when we come and study the book of Revelation, we should break up everything into the part, and then we start understanding what's going on in Revelation. So the fourth hallelujah is in verse number 6. Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. That's what we sing. That's what we have already sung. He reigns, he rules, and he forgive, and he bring us together. And that's what these people are singing, hallelujah. And that's what church supposed to do, because we are in the preparation of his kingdom. This way we will going to enter into his kingdom. Without praise and worship, you cannot enter into his kingdom. You know, soon as the groom comes, everybody starts singing, everybody starts standing, everybody shouting. You know, when you go to the game, what happened if somebody touchdown, what happened? Everybody was shouting. Everybody was saying, Jesus will going to make a touchdown to the ground. And you will going to have to praise and worship. If you are not doing right now, you should be practicing in the church. You should be singing and dancing, because one day there will be a touchdown by Jesus Christ. And he will going to thrill everybody. So remember, these are the four hallelujahs is already started in heaven. These people are already in heaven. They are all singing, praising, and worshiping. This is the all we do. Whatever your desires are, if you want to go in heaven, let's ready right now on this earth that we should be practicing, singing, praise, and worshiping his Lord, and dancing before his throne. All these things you were going to find it. You know, David was a great hero. He always danced before the presence of God. Even his wife says, the king, why you are dancing like this? And he says, who made me a king? He has made me a king. So I am dancing in his presence. I am singing in his presence. I'm going to glorify his name. I'm going to honor him, because everything belongs to him. And that's what our attitude should be, that everything, the breath of life, the clothes that I am wearing, the job what I am having, the car I am driving, the house I am living, is already given by God to me, that I can have a life and I can give all the glory and praise and worship to my Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of Holy Spirit, because he is my provider. He is my protector. He is my refuge. He is my Lord, my God, and I'm going to worship. And I'm going to say him, you have died for me, you have risen for me, and you are coming back to receive me. And I am here to honor you, and I am here to glorify you, and I am here to say, Lord, I am here, I am ready, come and take me home. I am ready to go into heaven, because I am sick and tired for all these bills, for all these chaos, for all these threatening, for all these other nations. I want to live you. And you know, I have a great news for you guys. There is a big promise that Jesus has made for us in John chapter 14, what he says, I'll go and prepare a place for you. So we are not alone. We are not forsaken. It's Jesus Christ, who is our elderly brother. And he went ahead of us, and he is preparing a place for us. So each one of us having a place in the presence of God, and he will going to sit at the right hand of the God the Father, and he will going to rule and reign. And at the time when he's going to touch down again, he will going to come, and he will going to destroy all the satanic power, all the worldly chaos, all these nations are threatening you. He will going to come and stand. You know, in the book of Philippians chapter number 3, it says all will going to confess his name, all will going to come and bow down before him, because he is the Lord and he is the. And when you go and study the book of Revelation, 19th chapter, the last verse says that his name is called the King of the King, the Lord of God, and he is the Lord of all gods, and he is the God of all gods, and all knees will going to bow down, all heads will going to bow down, because he is worthy for all the glory and all his power. So when he is coming back, he has a great thing to achieve. Why he's coming back? Did you ever think about that? Why he's coming back to receive his bride? Groom need a bride. So it started from the book of Genesis. What? It started from the book of Genesis. God said, it is not good for a man to live alone. And I'm going to create a woman. If God has created a woman for a first Adam, it is not possible that God will not create a woman for his own son. You know, church is a woman. Church is a woman. So church, when you come together, you take part in blood and body of Jesus Christ, you become a flesh of God. You become flesh of Jesus Christ. You become the blood of Jesus Christ because your DNA changed and you become a bride of Jesus Christ. You become oneness in Jesus Christ because what Adam said, she is taken from me and she is the bone of my bone. She is the flesh of my flesh. And you know when Eve was taken out of Adam, God put into sleep. Adam put into sleep. Jesus was put into sleep at the cross. And what happened? He was pierced from his side and the church was born at the cross. So whenever you see the persecution, it is already referred because we are born at the church. The church was born at the cross, and cross is all about persecution. Don't be shocked if you are under persecution. If church says, oh, I am not under the persecution, that is not a church. That is not a church. Church, we're going to have the persecution because church was born at the cross. At the cross, he was taken out from the rib of Jesus Christ. You know, the blood and the water came. And Jesus said, whoever drinks my blood, he become mine. And whoever drinks my water, he will never become a thirsty. Remember these things. Remember in John chapter 4, he met the Samaritan woman. And he says, if you ask me the water I will give you. You will never become a thirsty. So Jesus taught also how to worship. Because she was bragging on her worship. Oh, our forefather, they go at that place. They go in Jerusalem and they worship. They go on that mountain and then they worship. And Jesus said, one day you will not go into that temple. You will not go onto mountain. God is looking the people who worship with what? Truth and spirit. Wherever you come together with truth and spirit, spirit means the power of Holy Spirit. Wherever the power of Holy Spirit is, the truth is word of God. Wherever the word of God is, wherever the truth is, wherever the power is, there is Holy Spirit. So we all celebrate all these things every Sunday. So Jesus is coming to take his bride. So to become his bride, we have to stay virgin. To have stay virgin means we have to be chosen. You are chosen by God. It's not you. Jesus has chose you. He says, it's not you choose me. I have chosen you already. So when you see this verse, it is Ephesians chapter number 1 and 11. It says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in the community with the purpose of his life. You know, everything is that we are working is all about. We are already predestined. We are already have the life. And you can see the story of Esther. You can see in the Old Testament. You can see the story of Ruth, that she belongs to Moab. And God brought him out from the Gentiles and gave him the rights. You know, she is in the heritage of the lineage of the birth of Jesus Christ. Became the wife of Boaz, and Boaz came from the David lineage. David came from the Boaz. So you know that all the stories. So remember, we are already chosen. So God has chosen us, give us the destination. So number two, we are already purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are worthy to take the scroll and open it seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God person from every tribe, language, and nation. So Jesus Christ was slain and purchased us with his own body and blood. So whenever you come into the church and you celebrate the remembrance of Christ. What he says, whenever you come, you remember me in your presence. So the blood of Jesus Christ and the body of Jesus Christ remind us that we are coming, we are chosen, we are purchased. So remember these things when you come together. So number three, he was betrothed. The book of Matthew chapter number second talks about the story. We will going to celebrate in few weeks about the Christmas. That what about the Christmas? You know, I was talking in Sunday school class. You know, anybody know how many chapters are in our four Gospels? There are 89 chapters of four Gospels. And four Gospels, 85 of them are talking about the life of Jesus, not the birth of Jesus. The life of Jesus, the miraculous life, the prophetic system of his life, all about his and all about his resurrection and death. Only four chapters of 89 chapters, four chapters talks about the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew, the very two chapters, and the Luke, very two chapters, only four chapters, and we already bragging so much on a Christmas. So Christians, brothers and sisters, we should have a balance in our life that what Bible teaches us, but the gospel says us, we should put all together. Every scripture is with the inspiration of Holy Spirit. We should respect every word of the Bible because it says it's a living word. God. It has a two-edged sword. It cuts two ways. So remember, the word of God is too important. We should not only concentrate on the Christmas. We should concentration on all the scriptures, all the four gospels, all what Paul teaches, all whatever the apostles teaches us. So betrothed, it's already not like engagement. You know, we already explained that engagement is like a betrothal. Betrothal is more than engagement. Engagement, you just come and just make a wall before happening. Nothing, it is nothing done by documented. You know, in betrothal, you have to sign the contract like a marriage contract. When you come in a betrothal, you have to sign the contract. That's why Joseph was so much anxious about that I cannot leave her alone because I am a righteous person. I fear God. I cannot leave her alone. But the Holy Spirit came and revealed Joseph. Joseph, don't worry about her pregnancy. All about that is by the power of Holy Spirit. Remember, Holy Spirit is talking to Joseph. Holy Spirit is conceiving Mary. So Holy Spirit, the power of Holy Spirit is bringing them together. Who brings us together? Holy Spirit bring us together. And it's the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I will not leave you alone. I will not forsake you. I will going to send another comforter. And his name is Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit develops in you. And it will going to reveal in you. And it will going to teach you, and it will give you all the revelation. And that's what the betrothal, we are betrothed in Christ. We are the bridal of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We should be proud in ourselves because in 1 Peter 2nd chapter, it says that we belongs to a royal family. So we are in a royal family. So remember that. So the fourth aspect is that set apart. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 2, it says, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband, to one Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. Paul is talking about the church. Church should be in a purity, and it should be because we are associated with Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is our bridegroom, and he's coming to receive. You know, when you come to a set apart, when you come into the baptism, it's your baptism and it's your confirmation class give you a set apart. So in baptism, when you're a child, you brought to Christ, but in your confirmation, you say, I belong to Jesus Christ. That you affirm, that you say, I belong. That's what we say in our pledge of allegiance. We say, we belong to one nation, and that's what we affirm. We say that I belong to Jesus Christ. I believe in him. He is my Lord. He is my Savior, and I'm going to serve all the days of my life, and that is setting apart away. So the last two part are these preparation. We are prepared for, like in Matthew, I already talked about that. We should be always prepared. And while they went away to buy, you know, when the time comes, We shouldn't be looking that now this is the time that I'm going to kneel down and I'm going to start praying and I'm going to need more Holy Spirit. No, this is the time that we have, God has given us the time that we should come on our knees and asking his power, his wisdom, and his knowledge. And that's what happened in Matthew 25, that the 10 virgins, the fives were ready, the fives were not ready. So the sixth one is taken away. The Song of Solomon is talking about that. In very first chapter, the verse number 4 says, draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chamber. That's what he is talking to his bride. And he's bringing them into his chamber. He's bringing them. Remember when Isaac has married? Isaac was married with Rebecca. Remember that? They went and they brought the bridal from there, and soon as they went into the chamber, then they become a one flesh and one body. So that's what it, Jesus is coming to receive us. Jesus is coming to bring us into that in oneness, that we become one flesh and one body in Jesus Christ. And we will be in his chamber, in his millennium power. We will be close to him and he will be talking to his bride. So this is the consummated thing. The last one is the consummated. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 7 to 9. For this cause shall a man leave his wife and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh, two, so that they are no more two, but one flesh. So nobody, in Romans, it says nobody can separate. When you become one flesh with Jesus Christ, when you come one blood, one flesh with Jesus Christ, when you come and take part in his body and in his blood. His blood give us his DNA, his flesh give us his flesh, that we become one flesh and one blood and one DNA. So that's what he says, and nobody can snatch you. So don't worry about what's happening outside of the world, what the news you are hearing it. You know, you are a bride of Jesus Christ. There is a good news for you. When you come together as a church, you celebrate his feast, you celebrate, take part in the blood and the body of Jesus Christ, you becoming oneness in Jesus Christ. You become his flesh, you become his blood, and your inheritance comes into Jesus Christ. And that's why our Savior is Jesus Christ. Our hiding place is Jesus Christ. Our mediator is Jesus Christ. So whenever you are in need, you can come. I am your flesh. I am your DNA. I am your son. I am your daughter. So I am asking you, Lord, come and heal me. Come and touch me. Come and restore me. Come and give me, Lord. I am your son and I am your daughter, and I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ. Father said, whatever you're going to ask, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name to my Father, and it shall be added unto you. You know, it says in book of Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33. Anybody remember that? So what it says? It says, you shall ask and seek, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you to when you ask and seek and come into my kingdom, and with the righteousness, everything shall be added unto you. So this is the good news that we have. Jesus is coming back to receive his bride, and he will going to throw the party. You don't have to worry about the bills, that how much it cost, what should I arrange, how should I table should be arranged, how should the party should be arranged. He will going to arrange each and everything, and then the bride should be ready. This is the time for us to get ready by myself, by yourself, thinking about that Jesus is coming, and I want to stay with him, and I want to be in his presence, because he said, I will go and prepare a place for you. Are you guys ready for that? In Jesus' name we say, amen. God bless you.